This message is brought to you by the friends and partners of Kakra Baden. Welcome to Air Power with Kakra Baden, teaching the nations with signs and wonders. Why live in darkness when the light of God's word has solutions? Kakra is a teacher of the word who also ministers with miracles and the prophetic anointing. He's a senior pastor of the Catch the Anointing Center, Accra, Ghana. Now, today's message. Welcome to today's broadcast. Kakra has been sharing an inspiring teaching titled Communication in Marriage under the subtitle How to Resolve Conflict in Marriage. Yesterday, he began to speak about forgiveness and why it's important. Today, he continues and speaks about the key of humility. Let's listen in.
Second principle I'd like you to note from this story is that whether you receive mercy or not depends on whether you have shown mercy. You know, first of all, the Lord, who is God in the story, in the parable, showed the servant mercy. But when he didn't show mercy, he said to him, now he will have to pay every single thing. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. In other words, even mercy can be bought or obtained. But to have mercy, you must show mercy. So when we show mercy to people who have wronged us, and, you know, it can be your father, it can be somebody in your office, it can be somebody in your family, it can be somebody who is way down there, but you have decided to teach him a lesson that you will never show him mercy. The Bible says that if we resolve the conflict that way, we prepare ourselves to receive mercy ourselves, because mercy rejoices against judgment. Then the third divine reason. So all these are divine reasons, and they affect the things that happen to us. So the third divine reason is punishment. You know, in verse 34, when the man refused to reconcile with his brother and resolve the conflict, the Lord said, deliver him to the tormentors. I'm not interested in who the tormentors are, because I don't know. Some people say they are demons. Some people say it is whatever. But I don't want to go into who they are. I just want to go into the effect of tormentors. What do they do? I think that's the most important thing. They punish you. Punishment. So let's just focus on what the effect on the person. Punishment. I don't know about you, but if you are supposed to receive punishment for every single thing that you have done, I think you will suffer a lot. Every single error, when you cross a red light, punishment. When you cross somebody, punishment. I mean, imagine that every mistake that you make, you are punished. It will be very serious. You can't survive. So the tormentors are there to punish. Let's forget about the identity. Let's just focus on their effect on you. Punishment. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be punished for everything that I do. When we were in school, one day we went to town, and our senior housemaster, he saw us, and then he called all of us to his house. He says, going to lash us. There are about six of us. So if he lashes you, you go back to the dormitory. And these were serious lashes. So the first person will come, he will lash you, and then you go. Second person lash you. And he put me last. So by the time it got to my turn, everybody had gone home. And he put the cane down. He said, let's go and have lunch. Let's go and eat. That was it. He didn't punish me. Rather, he gave me food. Was my friend. So I sat down with him. We had a nice lunch. We spoke. We chatted. Everything. Beautiful. So when you escape punishment, it's a wonderful thing to escape punishment. That's why it says mercy will always rejoice against justice. But these are divine laws. That's why Jesus said, I'm talking about the kingdom of heaven. So Jesus told that story to give us spiritual understanding. And he said, if you have that spiritual understanding, then the way you deal with people and conflict is different. Because you know that there are spiritual laws operating. And whether you like it or not, they will affect you one way or the other whilst you live on this earth. So the third key is the key of forgiveness. I want to go to the fourth key. The fourth key is the key of humility. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, the Bible says, let nothing means zero, nothing, be done through strife. Strife is conflict. and vain glory. Vain glory means empty pride. But with lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Then he says, verse 4, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Then verse 5 says, let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus. So here he talks about mindset, the way you think. Mindset means the way you think, the way you process information. You know, the way you process information affects your response. We can have the same information, but our response will be different because of the way we process and understand the information. For example, when the Israeli soldiers saw Goliath, the giant, to them, it meant they were going to die. They all ran away. But when David saw that same giant, Goliath, he could see money, a pretty girl, and not paying taxes. That's all that he saw. Same threat, same giant, but the way you process information is different. And when you process information differently, it affects your response. So here the Bible is telling us that Christ had a certain mind, which is not in us. That's why it says, let this mind be in you. In other words, we have to renew our minds. In Isaiah chapter 55, verse 7, the Bible says, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord. If you are a Christian, you must be prepared to change your thoughts, the way you think about things, the way you resolve conflicts. When you are angry, what you do. When people disappoint you, the way you think about it, the way you process information. So a Christian must process information like Christ processes information. So this is one of the few verses in the Bible that talk about the thinking of Christ and the thoughts of Christ. Because you cannot tell what a man is thinking. But at least this verse tells us how Christ's mind worked. So in this verse, we have a peek of his mind. The Bible says, in lowliness of mind, he had a humble mind. Let each esteem others better than themselves. Then it describes what it means by having a humble mind. It said, when you have a humble mind, this is your mind, that others are better than you. I mean, that's a tough mind to have. Because if you admit, we always think that we are better than other people in so many ways. I mean, you write an exam, you get 80, somebody gets 20, and you must think that the guy who got 20 is better than you. Can you think about that? You see somebody, a very poor person, and you know the person is very poor, and you have more money than the person, and you think that this poor person is better than me. You see a drunkard. The drunkard is drunk. I mean, he has no job, nothing, walking around. And you are a CEO in your nice four-wheel drive. And when you see the drunkard, I said, this guy is better than me. I mean, how? It's not a natural thought. But that's what the Bible says. It says, Christ, that's how he thought. So it's a humble mind. And the specificity of that, the humbleness of mind, is thinking that others are better than you. So let's talk about it in a marital setting. You know, assuming you have a problem with your husband, sometimes you are unwilling to yield, to bend, because in your mind, you have a better case than your husband. What you are saying is right, and what your husband is saying is wrong. So because of that, you will not talk to your husband for the next 7 months, because you feel that you are justified. You are the one who is correct. You are the one who is right. And because you are right, you are not going to leave this case because you are right. What is perpetuating the conflict is that you think you are better. That's what the Bible is trying to say. But it says that once you change your mind and you think that, listen, maybe I am myself, I'm even part of this problem. Maybe I myself, I might even be wrong. Maybe this person is even right and I am wrong. That mind will let you step down and resolve the conflict. That's what it means. So you realize that the dynamics of your thinking affects what you do and the way you respond to things. Very important. So if you have a problem with your father, you said, my father did not take care of me, I won't speak to him again, he's a foolish man, he is this, he is that, he is this. The reason why the conflict continues is because you think you are better than your father. He's the irresponsible one. You are right and he is wrong. But Paul said, if you begin to think that, listen, maybe there are parts of this story I don't know. Maybe even my father did his very best. Maybe if I were in his shoes, I'd even have been worse than what he did. Because sometimes you don't even know what happened. You don't know the real facts. And if you were even your father, you even have done worse. So with that kind of humble mind, knowing that, look, others may be right, I may be wrong, and not thinking that I'm always right, you will take the step to resolve the conflict.
Thanks for joining us. Today we learned that forgiveness is important because you will receive mercy and not punishment when you are also in the wrong. We also discovered that a humble mindset is key in resolving conflicts. Tune in same time tomorrow for the continuation of this message.
If you are here today, you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, and you want to give your life to Jesus, pray this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, today I repent of my sins. Please forgive me. Come and live in my heart. I believe that you died for me. Be the Lord and Master of my life. Thank you, Jesus, for coming into my life. Amen.
Before we leave, here is a praise report to boost your faith in the Lord.
This one says, you visited me in my dream and healed me. This one says, dear pastor, my wife gave birth to a baby boy last year, December, and the baby and mother were discharged. This little boy cries unnecessarily in the night. I know babies cry, but this one was something else. And every time I will have to pick him up and pray in tongues before he comes down. So one day this happened, and after I calmed him down, I fell asleep and had a dream. In the dream, I saw you in my room in a black and white suit, telling me that you were passing through and leaving immediately. I said, okay, but if you are leaving, why don't you pray for us? You then knelt down and laid hands on my little boy. When you started praying for him, electricity started going through him and me. In the dream, I saw electrical sparks coming from your hand. After this dream, something else happened. I used to have some growths on my genitals. But the following day when I woke up to have my shower, a voice told me, take a look. Every growth had vanished. My boy is also sleeping peacefully. We give God the glory. Why don't you put your hands together for Jesus? We give God the glory.
Grow in your Christian life with audio sermons from Kakabading on your mobile devices on the go. Here's how. Go to Play Store or Windows Store on your Android or Windows mobile devices and search for Kakabading AirPower. Download, install, and instantly access life-changing audio sermons by Kakabading. It's that simple. Kakabading AirPower app. On the go with a word. The presence of God. God's presence is a place of blessing. David counted it joy to experience the Lord's presence. Every child of God invariably goes through the feeling of losing God's presence from time to time. Order this message series through the following means. Call us on WhatsApp or send a WhatsApp message to +233 55 700 9010. You can also send an email to info@kakabading.org or make a regular call or send a text to +233 20 75 75 215. Our office hours are 10 to 16 hours GMT.
Thanks for your time. You can contact us, seek counseling, ask for prayer, order today's full-length message, or order books through the following means. Call us or message us on WhatsApp to +233 55 700 9010. Send an email to info@kakrabaden.org. You can also make a regular call or send a text to +233 20 75 75 215. Our office hours are 10 a.m. to 1600 hours GMT. Finally, write to us, share your testimony and how this broadcast has been a blessing to you, even if it is a brief note.